they tell you what the interview is going to be about and everything, or?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, we're going to do it in three parts. You know, the first part will be like what to quote the early years. Second part will be the head coaching years, and then the third part will deal more with the political arena.
Okay.
All right, and I'll you know, the way I do this is I'll just ask you the question, you answer, then I'll just go on to the next one, or sometimes I'll create another question. But some of these will be very basic. But the first question is, where were you born?
I was born in Hastings, Nebraska, in 1937, and lived there most of my early life with about a four-year time out when I went up to St. Paul, Nebraska, about 40 miles north of Hastings, during World War II. My dad was in the Army, was over in Europe, and my mom and my brother and I lived with my mom's parents in St. Paul from about 1942 through 1945.
Okay. What sports did you participate in while in high school?
Well, I played them all. I played football, basketball, track, and baseball. So whatever was in season, that's what I played.
Did you have a favorite one, or?
I think football was always my favorite sport. And basketball was probably next. And actually had a chance to go to the University of Nebraska and play football on a scholarship, and also had a chance to go there and play basketball. But both coaches told me that they didn't think it'd be possible for me to do both. So that's one reason I went to Hastings College, which was a small college there in Hastings where I could play both. And, of course, while I was at Hastings, I also participated in track.
Okay. What influence did your father have on your athletic and your professional career?
Well, my dad had a lot of influence. He was gone, as I mentioned, during World War II. And then he came back, and I really didn't know him because when he left, I was four. And when he came back, I think I was nine, going on ten. And but I knew that he really loved athletics, and I wanted to please him. And so for that reason, I think I was very attracted to athletics, but it was somewhat of a natural attraction, too. But he always encouraged me in athletics, and I know his interest had a lot to do with my interest, too.
What about your mother?
Well, my mom was actually had a little bit of athletic talent herself. I think she was pretty well coordinated. Her mother, my grandmother, was a softball pitcher and a pretty good athlete. But then when my mom's generation came along, it was not very popular for women to be involved in athletics. So I really don't know about her athletic involvement. But she went to the games. I don't know that she was as diehard as my dad was.
You were named All-State athlete in your senior year. You know, did you have a lot of schools that were recruiting you?
Well, I had quite a few. As I mentioned, the University of Nebraska in both football and basketball. I had, I think, University of Wyoming, Denver University, maybe a few others that were interested in me. But I chose Hastings because I was familiar with the school. I grew up within two blocks of it and knew the coaches, knew the players, and it was an opportunity to play more than one sport. And at that time, I was a little torn between football and basketball. I had pretty good success in both, and as a result, I wanted to do both.
Did you take any recruiting trips at all?
Well, I was invited down to the University of Nebraska, both in basketball and football. At that time, I don't know how much they did formal recruiting trips, the answer is no. I didn't really get on an airplane and go anywhere, but I was offered scholarships at three or four different schools.
So, you know, while you were in high school, did you ever go to any football games in Nebraska?
Yes, I did, actually. In junior high school, I went to some games at that time, and it cost 25 cents to get into what was called the knothole section, where you sat in the bleacher at the in the end zone. And I can remember seeing some of those games, and I had a great uncle who had some tickets. So I would probably attend one, maybe two games a year with him.
After you graduated, you played 3 years in the NFL. You know, what was training camp like compared to college?
Well, obviously it was a little more intense, and the level of competition was certainly greater. I remember going out to 49ers, and I was an 18th round draft pick. I think at that time they had 20 rounds, maybe 25 rounds. And I believe they had 36 spots on the roster. They had 36 veterans returning, and there were something like 60 or 70 rookies invited to the camp. That was the draft choices plus the free agents. So you had to figure the odds were pretty slim that you'd go and stick around when they had only 36 spots on the team, and they had 36 veterans returning, and being an 18th round pick. And I remember the first day that I was there, I went in to see the head coach, Red Hickey, and Red asked me if I wanted what position I wanted to play. I said, well, I was a quarterback throughout my college days, and that's what I wanted to play. And he said, well, we have two quarterbacks here. We have John Brody and we have Y.A. Tittle, and we're only going to keep two. And he said, if you think you can beat one of them out, well, you're sure welcome to try. So I could tell from the conversation that he was essentially saying, either you better try something else, or you're not going to be here very long. So I told him I thought maybe I could be a wide receiver. And so that day I switched to wide receiver, and they had some good players there, Billy Wilson and R.C. Owens, Clyde Connor, and it was very competitive. And so I hung in there and stayed with the team and was on their taxi squad primarily that year. Jack Kemp, who later ran for vice president, was also on the taxi squad with me. And then at the start of the next year, I started a couple of exhibition games and then got picked up by the Redskins. And I played for the Redskins for 2 years on their active roster.
Do you remember what your salary was, either at Washington or San Francisco?
I remember very clearly. At San Francisco, it was $6,500 a year, which was the minimum. And at Washington, I think I got all the way up to $8,500. So those were different days. And I remember some all-pro players who played for $10,000 a year.
I had a conversation with Mick Kinglehoff a while back, and he kind of related to the same thing. You know, after the NFL, you returned to the University of Nebraska to continue your education. Was there a particular person that influenced your career choice of educational psychology?
Well, I don't know. When I was at Hastings College, I thought about what I wanted to do, and I admired some of the people at Hastings that were on the faculty and in the administration. And so I just thought, well, you know, maybe I'd like to be a college administrator, a dean of men, something like that. And so I knew that a good avenue was educational psychology. So I went back to the University of Nebraska and enrolled in the Ed Psych program, and had been there a very short time when I talked to Bob Devaney, who had just been hired from Wyoming as the head coach. And in fact, he was still at Wyoming, and I called him and asked him if I could maybe help coach while I was going to graduate school. And he had me come over and see him when he got to Lincoln. He still wasn't sure he had any coaching opportunities, but he did have a problem over in one of the dorms because there were six or seven players over there in one end of the dormitory who were kind of a law unto themselves, dorm counselors, and nobody else could handle them. And most of these guys were from Chicago. So he wanted me to move in with those guys, and he said if I did, then he would pay my room and board. So I moved in there, and it was a little tough sledding for a while. But eventually got their attention, got their cooperation, and it turned out pretty good. I think of those eight or nine guys, a couple of them ended up being teachers, businessmen. One guy's an author, and you wouldn't have thought they'd have amounted to much, but they all turned out pretty good. And then I proceeded from that point on to become a graduate assistant coach, and also got my master's and then my PhD in educational psychology.
One of the players wasn't Thunder Thornton, was it?
Well, Bill Thornton was from Toledo, Ohio, I believe. And Bill was a senior that first year in 1962.
remember that name. How did you and Nancy meet?
Well, a friend of mine from Hastings, a guy named Don Fricke, and Don played on the football team at the university at that time, and so when I came back, Don arranged for me to meet Nancy, and so I really liked her, and I decided I was going to marry her, I think, after I'd only been around her maybe a couple times, and I think we were engaged within roughly 2 months. Married within about 6 months.
That was quick. Do you have a favorite Bob Devaney story?
Well, I guess it's not a, this is not a particularly humorous story, but I remember Bob when he went to Nebraska, you know, the first year he won 9 games and lost 2, which was a miracle, you know, because they'd been losing big, and then the next year, I think he went 10-1 and won the conference championship, beat Oklahoma, ran off, I think, 4 straight conference championships, and was tremendously popular because he turned the program around. And then we had a 6-4 season in 1967. He wasn't quite as popular. Then we had another 6-4 season in 1968, and we lost to Oklahoma the last game of the season, 47-0. And there was rumors that Bob needed to go, that if he didn't go, at least he needed to get rid of some assistants. And so I guess a couple lessons. Number one, that's how quickly things turned in college football. You were never any better in your last game. And here was a guy that turned a losing program around and still didn't have any losing seasons, but all of a sudden people were not happy. I was particularly interested in his decision because he could have easily fired 2 or 3 assistant coaches and made himself look good, but he didn't do that. He announced to the press and everybody else that if one guy went, we all went, and that he wasn't going to have any sacrificial lambs. And so, you know, his loyalty to the staff certainly engendered a lot of loyalty on our part, and so I was always very loyal to Bob, and I think I learned quite a lesson in loyalty, and that's been important to me.
Do you have a humorous story?
Well, I think one time Bob got picked up for, I think he was up in South Dakota somewhere, and he was driving about 110 miles an hour or something, and a cop asked what he was doing, and he said, well, he'd just gotten off the interstate, and he didn't have time to adjust or something. So... Only Bob would say something like that, you know. But anyway, he was rather notorious for his driving, and people they really liked Bob, but they didn't like to ride with him very much.
What was your recruiting territory when Devaney was coach?
Well, I was all over the place. I had Western Nebraska. I had Kansas City. I also had California, and I had Arizona. So I was, and one reason I got California and Arizona was I mentioned those 2 6-4 seasons, and we were really struggling in our offensive line. We just didn't have very big kids, and got pushed around, and so I asked Bob if he thought it'd be a good idea if I went out and tried to get some junior college players, and he said, yeah, I thought it'd be a good idea, and so I went out and recruited the junior colleges. I didn't know much about them, but we did get some good players. We got a guy named Carl Johnson out of Phoenix Community College, and he played in the NFL. Keith Wortman out of Rio Hondo in California, and he played in the NFL. Bob Newton out of Cerritos Junior College in California, and he played in the National Football League. And then there's a guy named Dick Rupert out of Harper Junior College, and Dick was smaller, didn't play in the NFL, but of our, so we had, I think, 4 of the 5 offensive linemen during our good years there, 70, 71, were from junior colleges, and I think it really helped us turn things around.
What do you remember about recruiting David Hum?
Well, I just remember that it went on forever. At that time, there were no rules on the number of visits a player could make. A lot of players were somewhere every week for 13 weeks, and David visited Atlanta, Kansas. Also, there were an awful lot of people who recruited David, and usually the head coach, I remember Bear Bryant and Joe Namath going out there recruiting, and of course Eddie Crowder was there from Colorado on a regular basis. Bob Devaney went out there a lot, and certainly part of it was that David was a fine person and a great player. But a lot of it was also that they liked to go to Las Vegas. And he was probably the most heavily recruited guy in the world at that time.
What about recruiting Vince Ferragamo? I mean, he was a transfer from Cal, right?
Right. Well, I recruited Vince at California. And I went over to his high school, and his brother was his coach. And we got to be kind of a tug-of-war, and I think eventually it came down to Stanford and Cal. And it seemed like Vince kind of wanted to go to Stanford, and actually signed a letter and put it in the mail. And there was some big rhubarb about how his brother got upset because he wanted to go to Cal, and he went and got the letter out of the post office or something. And then there was an argument that once he had signed a letter and put it in the post office, whether that meant that it was, at that point he was committed. And so eventually he ended up in California. I think he ended up there with a guy named, I want to say Bartkowski, but that isn't right, Bartkowski.
I think that's correct, yeah.
Steve Bartkowski. And that's kind of between the two of them, and eventually he became disenchanted and transferred to Nebraska. And then, of course, I started for us for 2 years and did a good job.
So he contacted you again, or?
Yeah, we couldn't contact him once he was enrolled at Cal, but he or his brother, somebody called and said he was really unhappy out there and wanted to know if we'd be interested in him, and I said, yeah, we'd be very interested.
What was the story about the bowl trip? You know, some type of a violation with the bowl trip or procedure?
Well, that was my fault. You know, he had transferred that first year. He was not eligible to play. But I did not realize that he was ineligible to go on the bowl trip. I guess in order to go on a bowl trip, you have to be eligible to play in a game. So we took him to the bowl, and he's been on the scouting team all year. And, of course, he helped us on the scouting team. But he recognized him standing on the sideline. He wasn't suited up. You know, he's just in street clothes. But he had the bowl game down at the Sugar Bowl, interviewed him on television. Somebody knew the rule better than I did, and they turned us in. And so I went down and appeared before the NCAA Infractions Committee, and I said, look, do whatever you want to me. I'm the guy that was wrong. I didn't know the rule. But don't penalize your kid, because he just did what we allowed him to do. But they still hung a one-game suspension on him, so he didn't start the first game of the year, the next year, and then he started the rest of them after that.
Now, speaking of the junior college players, what do you remember about your recruiting of Bill Slowey?
Well, Bill was one of those guys that had some talent. He was a very good player, and I thought he had a great future. And I believe it was one time during spring ball or a scrimmage or something, he just hurtled over somebody laying on the ground and came down kind of awkwardly and tore an ACL ligament. I believe at that time they didn't have any good surgery for it. And Bill was never the same player, but he really could have been a great player.
What do you remember about recruiting Roger Craig?
Well, Roger was, the guy that we were recruited first was his brother Curtis. Curtis was really well known and was heavily recruited. And we got Curtis over here in Nebraska, and he started for us, I think, for 3 years. And then Roger came along, and Roger might have been about a senior when Roger was Curtis was a senior when Roger was a senior in high school. So I remember going over there and recruiting Roger, and one time there was a huge snowstorm, and he kind of lived up a hill, and I remember